diversity in dining, fine dining even. Noe Tanigawa is here to talk about how lucky we are that we can enjoy a variety of ethnic foods here in the islands.
Oh, yeah. And we had such a fun time the other day, right, Catherine?
Yes, we were sampling.
Checking out the food of an island south of us here. It was all part of Prince Waikiki's thing they've got going called Off the Eaten Path, and they're featuring Chamorro cuisine. They've got their executive chef, Guam native Joseph Almaguera. He's from Jigo, right? That's
yes.
How you say it, spelled Y-I-G-O. And he's recreating flavors that he says bring back his childhood for him. We were interested in this because, we're eating around in Honolulu and want to get you in on the latest flavors.
Learning how to cook was, in preparation for a fiesta, it was like the party before the party. All the family gets together and helps prepare food. And that's how I learned to prepare a lot of the dishes, just by watching and listening to all my, my uncles and my grandparents' stories while we were preparing food.
Oh, talk about richness baked in, right, Catherine? I mean,
yes.
You're from Guam. How would you describe that experience?
Well, it's a terrific thing because each village has a fiesta, and it's kind of like open season. You just kind of go house to house sampling.
And he said it's like a festival for the town saint.
Yes.
So you know when it's coming up.
Absolutely.
He said Jigo, it was in February, and they would all get together and cook together. And I love that idea of party before the party, right? He said that the backbone of Guam cuisine, I thought, is he going to say fish sauce? Is he going to say coconut? He said hospitality. He said that is it. And you've experienced it. We got to check out that shrimp kelaguin, and he's going to be doing some ice carving. So if you want to check out that Chamorro thing at the Prince Hotel, you can do that tonight with Chef Almaguera. But what was interesting about that meal was that it set us off talking and thinking about how Hawaii's cuisine, the different kinds of cuisine available in Hawaii. Sean Morris is a Hawaii food blogger. He's a columnist for Lighthouse, that influential Japanese publication, also for Vogue Japan. He's incurable epicure on Instagram, if you want to check him out. A lot of good pictures there. And he consults on marketing in Asia. He's born and raised on Oahu, so he knows our local palate, and that's why it's fun to talk to. Morris points out that Japanese now are sparking on some changes in our palate and in our local restaurant scene.
They look for what they call ethnic cuisine. And, Hawaii's just riddled with amazing ethnic flavors. You've got Filipino, you've got Korean and Chinese and of course, Thai and all of these other interesting fusions that they can actually get back in Japan for the most part, but I think it's a slightly different interpretation. But add to that, you've got Ethiopian cuisine, you've got Peruvian. Our palate as locals have expanded to embrace these exotic flavors. The Japanese see this emergence of ethnic cuisines and therefore gravitate to these restaurants as well.
And Morris was saying that he loves to take his Japanese clients out to the Peruvian restaurant in Kapolei, Limon
yes.
Rotisserie. Oh, have you been there?
I have not, but it's my friend Paula's favorite place to eat.
Really? I know, we're hearing about these places, right? Have you checked Ethiopian in Chinatown?
No, I haven't.
It's really fun, and they've got that outdoor backyard dining, and then, even Kaimuki has its Tibetan place and so on. I mean, these are restaurants that local people are getting out and supporting. That's why they're still here. And what Morris says is that the reason our food palate's expanding is both because of the food channel, of course, taking us to all these places, and because of travel ourselves. Hawaii people are really big travelers. He says also, with the emphasis on local produce, our food in general is kind of getting better. The food we get at the everyday stores is generally fresher. There's more variety, and we're kind of pretty happy here, right? look at all the Yelpsters out there. There are a lot of foodies in this state. But how does our food scene really measure up internationally? A lot of people travel to eat, and they do know. Sean Morris is nice but direct about that.
There's got to be a desire to take that investment of time. And it's going to really be that to elevate our cuisine to a whole new level. And if we ever want to be considered for a Michelin star or World's 50 Best Spot, I think it's going to take that type of drive to make it happen. So in Asia, you see this sudden sprouting of Michelin ratings, Seoul and Shanghai and Bangkok. A lot of it has to do with really the finances, but we need to have talent as well. And I think we've got amazing talent now, but we still need to nurture that to make it to a level where it's going to be truly a global appeal.
So some of this is political.
It really is. You know, a place has got to make a concerted effort to get those Michelin stars. And, you know, it's got to take place at this upper level of lobbying and so on. But also, there's got to be the foundation, which is also what Morris points to. And, you know, looking at that foundation is so fascinating because not everybody who goes into cooking in this state wants to be a Michelin-starred chef, you know. I was just hanging out with the Lever Community College culinary students recently. They were preparing this giant bash on the beach for the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival that was going on at Ko'olina. I mean, everybody going there is paying a lot of money to have a great time, and these people working, the students working on that gala were so intent. It was fascinating talking to them. One wanted to be a food truck owner, another wanted to work in a hotel, another one wanted to, you know, maybe follow that fine chef route. And so just keeping an eye on the different interests, I have a feeling, will keep the food scene pretty active here. I mean, even with all the media attention that chefs get these days, the path to being a great chef hasn't changed all that much. You know, they still have to get out there and spend the time in restaurants with other really great chefs. It's that apprentice. It's the staging. It's being there in the restaurant, working behind the scenes in the kitchen with the chef that gives people their credibility and their skills.
You've got to pay your dues, really.
Ultimately, yeah. And, you know, now a lot of different schools have apprenticeships that they set up, externships for maybe a couple of weeks, a few weeks, and maybe a few months. In the older days, you would have to go and, for example, in Japan, you know, you could easily be, I just watched a film about a sake producer. She was putting labels on the sake bottles for 2 years before she was allowed to, you know, get any further into the business. This stuff is so interesting, and it really points to a possible, you know, certainly business future for us, tourism future, also an industrial future for us in farming. So if we can bring it all together, we could have quite a beautiful engine here.
Yeah, but I guess the key is then getting the mentors for some of these up-and-coming chefs.
Mm-hmm. And the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival does a really good job of that, bringing these people to town.
Well, I'm certainly glad that we have a broad array of all kinds of ethnic food, because sometimes I think just, you know, bland food is not fun.
Well, I'm just finding out that Guam food's pretty fun, too.
Oh, yeah, it can be pretty spicy, which is fun, you know, because not only does Prince have that event tomorrow, but you've got like a food truck, I think, out in Waikele. So, you know, it's fine dining. I got both ends.
Yay.
It's good fun. All right. Thanks so much, Noe.
Thank you.
That was HPR's Noe Tanigawa. You can find her food stories online at hawaiipublicradio.org.